Good day, and welcome to the Nephros Incorporated Fourth Quarter 2019 Financial Results Conference Call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touch-tone phone. To withdraw your question, please press star then two. Please note this event is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Kirin Smith with PCG Advisory. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Kirin Smith with PCG Advisory. Thank you all for participating in Nephros' full year 2019 conference call. Before we begin, I would like to caution that comments made during this conference call by management will contain forward-looking statements regarding the operations and future results of Nephros. I encourage you to review Nephros' filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission, including, without limitation, the company's Forms 10-K and 10-Q, which identify specific factors that may cause actual results or events to differ materially from those described in the forward-looking statements. Factors that may affect the company's results include, but are not limited to, its ability to successfully, timely, and cost-effectively develop, seek, and obtain regulatory clearance for and commercialize its products and service offerings, the rate of adoption of its products and services by hospitals and other healthcare providers, the success of its commercialization efforts, the effect of it on its business of existing and new regulatory requirements, and other economic and competitive factors. The contents of this conference call contains time-sensitive information that is accurate only as of the date of the live call today, February 27th, 2020. The company undertakes no obligation to revise or update any statements to reflect events or circumstances after the date of this conference call, except as required by law. I would now like to turn the call over to Darren Evans, Nephros' CEO. Darren, please go ahead.
Thank you, Kirin, and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Nephros' 2019 full year earnings conference call. I'll begin the call with a brief overview of our year, provide a corporate update, then I'll turn the call over to Andy, our COO and CFO, who will give a deeper dive into the results. In 2019, the engine that we have been building over the last couple of years has started to run on all cylinders. Total revenues for 2019 were up approximately 82% versus 2018. We saw nice growth in our base business, and we're also fortunate to support a growing number of pathogen outbreaks in the back half of the year. We continue to work tirelessly to support our value-added resellers and end customers in our hospital business segment. We are seeing hospitals make great strides in their development of water management plans, which establishes their routine pathogen testing protocols, their proactive use of chemistry and filtration, and their responsive plan in the event of a pathogen outbreak. We are in the process of launching our Pluripath pathogen detection system through in-person demonstrations, webinars with our hospital customers. Our early discussions are very encouraging. We've already received multiple purchase orders for systems that we believe that we'll deliver before the end of the first quarter. We have opened a new office to focus on the development and high-throughput manufacturing of the Pluripath assays. We currently offer our multi-path strip with 15 different pathogen tests in a single assay delivered on-site in less than an hour. We also offer mono-path strips that enable a user to run eight different water samples in one test, targeting a single pathogen of interest. We envision that users can use the multi-path test to provide a broad pathogen screening, and once the pathogen of interest is identified, the mono-path test can help to quickly isolate the source of the pathogen contamination, which often stems from biofilm buildup in one or more segments of the building's water pipe system. We can support the development of pathogen building heat map in real time, saving valuable time in the process of isolating and treating an outbreak. We expect the Pluripath system to be used both as a tool for the routine testing prescribed by the water management plan, as well as for the real-time support in outbreak situations. Near the end of this year, we expect to launch our CECLPath service, which will have the ability to provide full bacterial biomapping of a building's water system in as few as 4 hours. To provide this data, we will utilize both our portable PCR technology and portable gene sequencing technology to compare amplified bacterial DNA versus a database of over 20,000 different bacterial families and species. To our knowledge, this will be the most extensive on-site, real-time bacterial testing available anywhere in the world, which will be truly cutting edge. In the dialysis segment, we continue to see our EndoPure footprint growing slowly as the customers realize the performance improvement possible with better filtration. We expect this segment to continue to see slow but steady growth. In the second quarter of this year, we expect to launch our Dialopath assay, which will focus on gram-negative bacteria and providing dialysis clinics with a real-time estimation of endotoxin levels. The endotoxin test is a standard assay in the dialysis world to confirm that dialysis water is safe to use with patients. When clinics have tests that show higher than acceptable levels of endotoxin, they may need to shut down until they disinfect the water system and prove their levels have returned to those required for patient safety. A real-time endotoxin assay has the potential to save days to weeks, depending on the level of contamination. Today, we're in the final stages of validating the correlation of the Dialopath assay with standard endotoxin assays performed in centralized laboratories. We are excited about the potential to provide a real-time endotoxin measurement tool. We expect the Dialopath system to be used primarily in support of clinics that need to rapidly solve their contamination events. In our commercial segment, we continue to see steady demand for our products in the quick service restaurant, convenience store, and hotel markets. We will soon be launching additional products that can provide replacement filters for more filter manifold types, opening up additional segments of the market for our filters. We continue to pursue large chains for long-term supply contracts to grow our base business. In regards to the second-generation hemodial filtration product being developed in our SRP subsidiary, we have completed formative testing of the system and will hold a formal design freeze meeting soon. We then will manufacture our first batch of final form units and initiate our verification validation testing. Currently, we are on path to complete and file our special 510K this summer. I'll now turn the call over to Andy for a financial review.
Thank you, Darren. I'll now provide a look at our financial results for the fourth quarter and for the full year ended December 31, 2019. First off, as is my habit, I'm very pleased to report our 14th consecutive quarter of year-over-year net revenue growth, with an average growth rate during those 14 quarters of 63%. Nephros reported net revenues in the fourth quarter of $3.2 million compared to $1.6 million in the same period last year, an increase of 96%. For the full year, net revenues were $10.3 million compared to $5.7 million in 2018, an 82% increase. All of these results exceeded our revenue guidance for the year. As a reminder, we recognize two distinct business segments, water filtration and renal products. The revenues I just described were all generated by the water filtration business segment, which has also hit an important milestone here in the fourth quarter, achieving positive net income for the first time, which was $135,000 compared with a net loss of $147,000 in 2018. For the full year, water filtration showed a net loss of $1.6 million, down 32% from $2.4 million in 2018. Adjusted EBITDA for the water filtration business segment was $648,000 in the fourth quarter, compared with $136,000 in the same quarter, 2018. Adjusted EBITDA in the water filtration segment for the full year was positive $281,000 compared with negative $861,000 in 2018. Please refer to today's press release for more details about the calculation of adjusted EBITDA and its reconciliation to GAAP net income or loss. On a consolidated basis, net loss for the quarter was $144,000 compared with $664,000 in 2018, a 78% improvement. And for the full year, net loss was $3.2 million, a small improvement from the $3.3 million net loss in 2018. Consolidated adjusted EBITDA in the quarter was positive $376,000 compared with negative $256,000 in 2018. For the full year, consolidated adjusted EBITDA was negative $1.2 million, a 30% improvement compared with negative $1.8 million in 2018. Cost of goods sold in the fourth quarter was $1.3 million compared with $0.7 million in 2018, an increase of 92%. Cost of goods sold for the year was $4.3 million compared with $2.5 million in 2018, a 71% increase. Gross margins in the fourth quarter were 60% compared with 59% in 2018. Gross margins for the year were 59% compared with 56% in 2018, and we expect future gross margins to continue in the range of 55 to 60%. Research and development, or R&D, expenses in the fourth quarter were $0.8 million compared with $0.5 million in 2018, a 40% increase, and R&D expenses for the year were $3.1 million compared with $1.5 million in 2018, an increase of 101%. Depreciation and amortization in the fourth quarter was $44,000 compared with $40,000 in 2018, a 10% increase. And for the year, depreciation and amortization expenses were $186,000 compared with $163,000 in 2018, a 14% increase. Selling, general, and administrative, SG&A, expenses for the fourth quarter were $1.4 million compared with $1.1 million in 2018, an increase of 30%. SG&A expenses for the year were $6.1 million compared with $4.5 million in 2018, a 35% increase. Our cash balance at the end of 2019 was about $4.2 million. As you may be aware, in late January, we also completed a common stock offering, which generated approximately $6.7 million of net cash proceeds. I'll wrap up my introductory comments today, or my comments today, with the subject of revenue guidance. We are anticipating revenue growth in the 40 to 50% range in 2020, with additional growth possible depending on the timing and growth slope of our pathogen detection products and on the potential for larger scale contracts in the commercial sector. For the full year 2020, then, we are setting guidance at $14.5 to $15.5 million. In closing, we remain excited with the momentum we've been experiencing and with our future growth prospects. We look forward to seeing many of you at financial conferences this spring and at our annual meeting, which is scheduled for May 21st, that's May 21, at our offices. More details will be released soon. In the meantime, please feel free to contact Darren or me directly at info@nephros.com. This concludes our formal presentation remarks. I would again like to personally thank all of our stakeholders for your continued support, and I look forward to speaking with you all again soon. We'll take questions now and also answer emailed questions as appropriate. Operator, please open the call for questions. Thank you.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. The first question is from Anthony Vendetti from Maxim Group. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot. Just wanted to talk a little bit about the guidance. Andy, you said the 14.5 to 15.5 doesn't include potential commercial side of the business, so that would encompass, correct, QSRs, hotels, stuff of that nature, convenience stores, correct?
I'm not sure I'd put it quite that black and white, Anthony. I would say that we are anticipating total revenue growth of 40 to 50%, and we think that if we get some breaks, it can be higher, particularly juiced up by success in the commercial sector and in potential growth in pathogen detection.
Okay. Maybe Darren, more for you in terms of the color on the opportunity there. I know you mentioned on the last call you've had some pretty extensive discussions. Is that still where it's at, or any comment that you can make on what that opportunity is or where it's at today versus the last conference call?
Yeah, sure. We're still in the process of working with these large companies that, they're big and they move pretty slowly. The range of opportunities and sort of in the million range per year up to the, even saw one that was multi-million, like maybe more than $5 million a year. The probability of success, we don't have a long history of chasing these big contracts, so we just can't really rightly include them in our, or risk weight them. But if we get them, it's a step change, multi-million dollar step change from the commercial side. And it's just, if we get them, then we kind of see it as upside bonus. And if we don't, we actually have a relatively nice growth path that'll be more conservative, but not the step change capability. So we don't know more than the other bidders, the RFPs, but we think we've got a pretty good shot to get one or two of these things.
Okay, great. That's helpful. And then in terms of the dialysis business, the hemodiafiltration, I think you mentioned it. You're on track with the 510K there. Can you just talk about what that opportunity could be, assuming clearance there, and whether it's this year or next year? What's the opportunity in that space?
Yeah, when we think about it, if you look at Europe as an example, being 10, 15 years ahead on HDF, about a little more than 15% of their market uses HDF. So for the U.S., if you sort of applied our model, which is we're an assist device for a current footprint of HD machines that provides a dialyzer and a tube set and a machine, if we had 15% of the U.S. dialysis market, that would be sort of a $60 to $75 million opportunity. For us, but I would doubt that we're going to get there tomorrow. So our path is to get approval, get back in the market, go back to some of the clinics that we were there before, work on making sure we fit in the procedures that are different between Fresenius and DaVita and the rest of the dialysis community, and then create an easy button, which we didn't give last time. It wasn't easy to use our system, so we created an easy button that we're going to try to then get back in the market, and then have some logical portion of patients on whom this works better than normal dialysis. And so I can't really give any guidance on what we're trying to achieve. Every machine we place, if it's fully utilized, is $17,000 to $20,000 of revenue. And right now, the HD market, there's over 200,000 machines in place and being utilized. So that gives you the scope of what's possible. And it'll all depend on where to be there for Fresenius and others decide to use the system and on which patients.
Okay, that's helpful. Okay, great. I'll hop back in the queue. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Anthony.
The next question comes from Howard Halpern from Taglich Brothers. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on the quarter and the year, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks, Howard.
Talking about the commercial segment, how large now is your sales team as you head into 2020?
It's on the commercial side. It's really just a couple of people. It's a small operation.
Okay, and you had talked a little bit about, I guess, the manufacturing of the strips and stuff. Is that in the U.S. and is that local?
It is in the U.S.
That will be – yeah, go ahead, Andy.
Go ahead, Darren. Okay. It is in the U.S. It will be in Nevada, which for a variety of reasons makes sense. So we're building it there, and yes, we'll be doing it ourselves. It'll be a local U.S.-based operation.
Okay. And I may be jumping ahead, but is there a potential to – consistently add to the number? I think now it's like 15, but could you add additional tests for different pathogens?
Oh, absolutely. So if you think about what I talked about, the sequel path,
right.
Ultimately what we envision is going into a building, and whether it's because some insurance company who's entering the building wants to see what's there, or if the building engineers want to see, you know, the full biome, which often is kind of scary to think about if you could see, you know, what exactly lives in my pipes. But we can go in and do that. And then each system might have its own biome, might have its own problem bugs. And so if you can envision a few years out, we come in, do SQL path, give a full heat map, full biome testing of a building, figure out what are the problem bugs of that building, and have a custom strip. And these are just DNA assays. You could, some are off the shelf, some are stuff you can breathe through papers, but it wouldn't be hard to make any given assay once you have the bacteria identified, because they're just DNA and they've all been sequenced. And so we could have custom strips per site so they can track their own progress on, you know, getting rid of their bad boy bugs.
And how important, and I'm pretty sure it's important, but how important is the data once you actually start building this out as to, for instance, you know, you do buildings in certain areas, you go to other buildings in those areas, does that typically have similar pipes, I guess, or stuff in the pipes?
Well, you end up with a base water source that might be similar and might have similar, you know, pico levels of contaminants. But once it gets in the building, you know, whether the backhoe from Fifth Avenue hit the hospital on Fourth Avenue would be different dirt than the, you know, the backhoe from the 27th Avenue. It really has a chance of sort of building its own basis. So it's very likely that a single water supply supplying a bunch of hospitals might have a similar starting point. But once the source of contamination wouldn't just be from the water pipes, it could be from other more localized sources. And so each building truly will have its own biome.
Okay. And
we do think, Howard, that there is value to the data.
Right.
You know, it's early days and we don't know exactly what that looks like, but you know, if we've got data on 1,000 or 2,000 or whatever number of sites, there's information to be extracted there.
Okay. In terms of outbreak business, was that in the fourth quarter and so far in this year, has that been relatively steady based on the temperatures that we've been seeing?
It's an interesting question. We can't really talk about, you know, this quarter in terms of results, but last quarter was a strong quarter for outbreaks because it was warmer than usual. Without going into, you know, numbers, this quarter has not been as strong as outbreaks, and you wouldn't expect it to be because while the, you know, the overall temperatures are a little bit warmer, it's still pretty cold outside. So we don't tend to get a lot of outbreaks, you know.
Okay. And one final one, based on the revenue guidance that you put out there and, you know, how you performed in the fourth quarter, is getting to or close to a positive EBITDA probable in 2020?
You know, I try really hard not to get ahead of our skis in terms of projections. You know, what I would point you to is this. We have the water filtration business is 100% of our revenue. So that's the business that is our growth engine that exists today. That is not only EBITDA positive, not only adjusted EBITDA positive, but it is actually net income positive. So that business is on a solid footing to be profitable and to continue to increase its profitability. The other businesses, the Pluripath pathogen detection business and the SRP's HDF business, are development stage businesses, and they are going to take investments. And depending on how those investments go, the overall consolidated report is going to have to be, you know, is a little unpredictable. But we're only investing because we believe that those businesses will be profitable in the future. So, so with all of that, I'm not going to answer your question.
Okay, and I'll say one final question too. With the Pluripath and the other one that you're developing too, are we going to see a series of papers or consulting reports come out based on immediate results with some of the early customers that you engage with?
We would very likely not be producing any papers based on a specific customer site in regards to the Pluripath. You notice that we don't publish who our customers are for the water filters, because if we're there in emergency reasons and there's other stuff going on, they don't really want to call attention to that. There's a couple of press releases where we've been mentioned as the filter that came in and made it all work. But what we'll be doing is publishing our comparisons of our own tests internally to centralized labs, to other sort of standards, so that we can sort of show and prove to our customers that it works. So we've already got one white paper out there for Legionella. We'll be adding more to that over time. For each different pathogen that we have on the strip, then you'll see a validation test. And then for things like the endotoxin levels, that's one that's very easy to do, where we just test water in the lab and then also send it off to a centralized lab and not call into question any particular clinic. So we will be publishing papers and things so customers can see the assays and how they work, but probably not call any particular customer out.
Okay. Well, thanks, and keep up the great work, guys.
Thanks, Howard.
The next question comes from Michael Brickick from National Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, guys. Congratulations. Actually, most of my questions were answered, but I just wanted to go a little bit deeper on a couple of things. On the commercial side, you said you had a couple of salespeople. Is that the type of business that you're going to have to grow by growing salespeople, or are they more leveraged in the sense that, they're signing up distributors and then they end up distributing and increasing your client base?
It's a combination, Michael. Hi, it's good to hear your voice.
Andy.
It's a combination. The core strategy that we have is to go after large national contracts, as Darren referred to earlier. And that is a very, that's a very senior, low number of persons, like one to focus on the industry and get the big accounts. We also are more than dipping our toes in going after local operations and then sort of working up from there. And that the second one of those, which is less developed than the first, would over time be one that you'd throw people at. That would be more regional. But I don't think that the investment makes, I don't want to overinvest too quickly there, because we don't have the reputation yet. We're starting to bring in regional people on the hospital side because we're number two in the industry and we're pretty well known at this point. I don't want to spend, I don't want to throw good money after bad. Well, that's not really the right point, but I don't want to spend too heavily in a market where we're not that well known yet.
Right. Just an aside, we're talking about manufacturing. My understanding was stuff was manufactured in Italy. Is that going to be moving to the States, or are we talking about two different things?
Two different things. The the medical filters that we sell are manufactured in Italy. The commercial filters that we sell, we actually manufacture here in Nevada, in Las Vegas. And the Pluripath, the pathogen detection materials that we were talking about, the assays themselves will be manufactured in Reno.
Got it.
Yeah.
And I assume the guidance for the year is all filtration, right? You're not counting anything else in the guidance.
Well, we're hoping to have some positive numbers from pathogen detection, not counting on anything significant from, we're not really counting on a great deal of revenue from either one, but we'd like both of those numbers to be somewhat positive.
Right. You were talking about the tests and the outbreaks, and it was warmer in the quarter before than now. Is there any I don't know if seasonality is the right word, but obviously there's the change in weather where it's going from warmer to cold or cold to warm. Does that have any sort of effect on those outbreaks?
We don't have scientific answers to that, but I can tell you that looking at the data for the last 3 years, Q1 is always a slower rise, or even in some cases a slight fall from the previous quarter, even though it's a great deal higher than the Q1 before that. Q1 is just, so it does appear that there's some seasonality to the cold winter months. It's not a great deal of seasonality like Christmas for retail, but it's right. there does appear to be some
lull.
Some lull, exactly. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you very much. Totally appreciate it. Congratulations again.
Thanks, Michael.
The next question comes from Bob Wasserman from Benchmark Company. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking the question. Congratulations on a good year. Just real briefly, I know that you've got revenue growth guidance in 2020. Can you give us a little color on the core business, the filter business? Are you looking for new sites, new facilities? Or are you looking to sell more filters for each facility? Maybe a little bit more color on how that breaks down.
Yeah, the short answer is yes and yes. We monitor closely our, although we don't publish, but we monitor closely our sales from existing customers, our increases to our existing customers, and also the addition of new customer sites. We're adding new customer sites at more than one throughout 2019. We added more than one per day on average, one per business day, which is pretty great. And at the same time, our customer retention rate was 94% measured quarterly, which tells you that we're keeping our customers, and indeed over the course of the year, our existing customers accounted for 62% of our revenues, which I think is a really healthy number. It's not 98%, which would tell you that we're not getting enough new customers, nor is it 10%, which means that we're losing customers. It's a good, healthy sort of 2/3 of our revenues coming from existing customers. The other color I would give you, which is a little bit different than what you asked about, is that we postulate that the reason is that we're becoming more known in the industry, but our response to outbreak business increased 142% over 2018. So that's another area. And by the way, some of those are existing customers, but more of them are new ones. So that tells you that the reputation is out there and bringing new customers into the fore as well through the outbreak response. Is that helpful?
Yeah, that's great. And maybe just a little bit on the trend. Are you seeing, in terms of new customers, are you seeing kind of growth in certain geographical areas? Are you seeing growth in certain types of facilities, or is it all across the board?
Well, it's all across the board. I would tell you that we're strong in the New York metropolitan area. We're strong in California. We're strong in the Midwest. I think we could, and when I say strong, there's plenty of room for growth, but I think we've got a pretty good base in those three areas. I think the Southeast and the Deeps and the South, like the Texas area, frankly, the whole Southern Belt, could be stronger, and we're gonna work on that this year. But we have sold product over the last 3 years to all 50 states plus Puerto Rico, so we're everywhere, at least to some degree.
Okay, great. Thanks. Thanks again, and congrats on the good quarter.
Thanks, Rob.
The next question comes from Ralph Wheel from R. Wheel Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Could you elaborate a little, if possible, on the competition for Pluripath, how it's been done in the past, and the pathogen detection, and what a little more light on what your advantages are in your mind in terms of your price and the time it takes presently. That's basically the question.
Okay, thanks, Ralph. Sure. So, 5 years ago, most testing for hospital water was Legionella focused, primarily, and done in a lab. There was some PCR done, but mostly it was culture plate. Over the last couple of years, PCR has been starting to be used more as a quick screen, so you can get data in 24 hours. And what we're trying to do is give you that data plus a bunch of other bugs in an hour on site. There are other machines out there that are trying to sell kind of a similar concept. So there's the Spartan Cube. There's a couple others that have the same real-time capabilities. What differentiates our system is that we're able to help concentrate the sample in a way that makes the assay more effective. So by using our filter, which is a similar filter to our HDF filter, we can take a liter, which is a standard sample size, and we can concentrate that into sort of 10 to 15 mils of water. So you get a log two step up in concentration. And then you take that sample after you've lysed it and you put it in the machine. And PCR generally gives you about a log 10 sensitivity on amplification of the DNA. So we really have kind of a log 12 shot on goal, which gets down to as low as two base pairs that will be in a liter of water. So, you know, PCR itself is very sensitive, but we're able to do it real-time on-site, and it's that concentration step that I think a lot of other folks won't have in their systems, so that would be our advantage. We also have just a head start. You know, we saw many years ago that we needed to have a lot of other bugs besides Legionella, so we've made the assays, we've made the strips, focused on trying to make it a very usable system, so you don't need a biology degree, and made the sample prep pretty easy. From a price point of view, if you look at the central labs and you look at the other real-time tests, we're right there. We've done a lot of research on seeing what central labs cost. If you buy 100 tests a week, your costs are pretty low. If you buy one, then they're pretty high, and we're kind of in the middle. The pricing hasn't been something that we've been pushed back on yet, but we'll always keep a look at that. Once we get to the high throughput manufacturing, then we'll have some more flexibility if that's the way the market goes. But right now, we think we're providing if you were to do the same test, even through a central lab for all 15, your price point would be close to $1,000, and we're well below that. So I think price-wise, we're where we'd be. Advantage-wise, we have the filter step that gives us better sample prep, and then we just have a system that we think is pretty user-friendly. And our cost of goods will be lower than most just because of the way we've chosen to use an open source platform for the machine.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The next question comes from Todd Eiler, private investor. Please go ahead.
Hey, Andy, Darren, good to speak with you again, and congratulations on 2019. Well done.
Thanks, Todd.
I have two quick questions. The first one is in the new Army budget that came out for request about a few weeks ago, there's a line item for roughly a couple million dollars for the Nephros water filtration device for the soldiers. And I was curious if you're ready to respond to that and ramp up that filtration product as well as the cartridge fab if that's approved by Congress. And secondly, has the FDA agreed that the 510K is indeed the correct submittal for the HDF 2.0, or is that still up in the air whether it's a special 510 or a regular?
Yeah, so we've outlicensed that military product, Camelback. So while we see, like, we sometimes see some of those government publications, Camelback handles that, and they work directly with our manufacturer to ramp up, and they've got plenty of capabilities to do that. So, you know, if that contract comes to fruition and Camelback sells, you know, $2 million worth of filters, then we'll get a royalty check a few quarters later. So we're there to help wherever we can if they have any support needed for that procurement process. From the special 510K path, we're really basing our opinion on the guidance that the FDA provided a couple of years ago on the, you know, what to do if you're, you know, whether you file a special, whether you file a regular, or whether you don't file at all. And the way our assessment is that every change we've made doesn't actually trigger a filing at all. So they're all note to file changes. But we sort of deem that the conservative path would be to, you know, roll them together and put it in the special and submit it. And obviously, as we get closer to that time, we'll give them a call and we'll talk about it. But right now, the changes we've made don't if you follow the shoot a file, a 510K guidance that the FDA put out in 2017, you know, it just nothing triggers a filing. And we've seen lots of companies, you know, put forth no 510K filing for as many as sort of 3,000 little changes in their machine, because none of the individual changes made a, you know, triggered an FDA filing. So it's really a, you know, it is a bit of an assumption, but we're going to validate the assumption with the FDA conversations and submit it as we plan.
Excellent. Thank you. And are you still shooting for submitting by summer of this year?
Yeah, that's the plan. Design freeze shortly, and then it's just plug and chug through the V&V process.
Excellent. Thanks again, guys. Appreciate it.
Again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. The next question is from Carl Wildville, private investor. Please go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I was going to ask about, first of all, the HDF and the timeline, but that was largely just answered. And then my other question was about the where the revenue for the water is coming from, where the growth is, and what our footprint is across the country. And I think that was pretty much largely answered too. If there's anything you'd like to if there's anything you'd like to add, obviously it would be nice when we say summer for the HDF. I mean, that's what a 3-4 month window. It would be nice to have I know you guys want to get this done, get it out, and get that ball rolling, but obviously it would be nice to have a firmer date. But do you anticipate between now and the submission any hurdles that could put it back further, or do we have a pretty set timeline at this point where you're pretty confident you'd be ready to get this thing in by June, July time?
You know, once you have a design freeze, then it really is a kind of a plug and chug process. There's a set number of steps and a set pattern you have to complete, and it's just a matter of execution. We recently brought another individual on board whose, you know, past life was execution. So hopefully, in between the three of us that are working on that project, that and the design firm that's you know, working on it as well, that we can, you know, get through the process on time. But you know, who knows? So far, we do have a, you know, one of the molds we made in China. Will that be a problem? So far, they're working. They're working right now. So I don't think so. But you know, it would be nice to say that, you know, June 30th we're done. And that's our timeline. We're all being focused and incentivized to get it done, you know, before the end of the second quarter. If we slip by a few weeks, you know, that's the way the science works. But we don't see any big surprises from between now and the filing.
Mm-hmm. And
just
remember going back before you guys tenure, there was the Chem Aqua thing, and I think we've talked about that over the years. But obviously a partnership there that doesn't seem like it came to much. I'm not sure what the current status of that one is, but you know, the potential with our company was pretty huge with the previous management before you guys' time. But, you know, reading about companies that are in the commercial space, I think we mentioned like 3M, companies like that. Do you envision any kind of partnerships with companies like that going forward?
So Chem Aqua actually is one of our bigger distributors, you know, right now.
Okay.
It like many others, it just took a while for the hospitals to catch up on doing their water management plans the right way, which means they made a plan in general and then have testing and then have proactive filtration and proactive chemistry. So mm-hmm. we work with Chem Aqua every day. They're great, great partners. We're there to help them anytime they can. The 3M folks, we're going to go head to head with those guys pretty soon. You know, they've got the Kuno filter, and the Kuno is, I don't know if it's 40% of the market in the U.S. or some large number. Between Pentair and 3M, they kind of own the commercial, you know, taste, odor, scale space, and that's our competitor in the commercial space. So, you know, much like, you know, 5 years ago when we were, you know, looking up at Paul as the Goliath. You know, 3M and Pentair, they're much bigger Goliaths than Paul, as far as the space goes. But it's also you know, a much more fragmented customer set, and you know, we're gonna get our wins. So, you know, I think the U.S. filtration market is, you know, 500 million plus, and there's also the world market, and we're selling some stuff overseas now too, commercially. So, I think that's just one where it just has it's just such a big market. And our product works pretty well, and our pricing is pretty good, and we're small. But as soon as we get some traction, you know, you can see some dominoes might fall, and that becomes a pretty big business pretty quick.
Mm. Well, I just want to say, I don't know, I've said it before, but, you know, coming from where we've come from like 3 or 4 years ago, I think you guys have done a phenomenal job, and looking forward to seeing what can happen in the next couple of years. But thanks for allowing us to pick your brains.
Thanks, Carl.
Great. Thank you, Carl. Thanks for all the support over the years.
The next question comes from Andy Carruthers from Bagley Securities. Please go ahead.
Oh, Darren, good results for this.
Thanks,
last
Andy.
Year. I wonder if, since R&D is going up faster than your revenues, is that something you anticipate going forward to increase even faster than revenues?
No, that really was a bolus that we did last year, because we went from, you know, finishing all of our filtration development and you know, just launching products to, in 2019 we relaunched the HDF program. When we launched that, we did a bunch of work on the PluraPath system. So, you know, much of that was externally focused expense. So it's not going to be continuous. The HDF expenses for the development side, at least, will be kind of curtailing once we file the special. There'll still be some expenses, but not the same levels when you're doing active development. And same with the PluraPath, is that, you know, once you sort of build and develop, then most of those expenses might actually sort of shift into COGS, because the robot that we're going to get to make this high throughput manufacturing is going to be part of the, you know, the cost of goods, so it's going to be amortized. So, yeah, I don't see the R&D. It may even come down as we shift out of these projects into commercial stage.
Oh, okay. So most of it will occur in the first half.
Yeah, and we have grown our R&D staff a little bit, but not as much as revenue. So, you know, as the you know, the checks we're writing to other firms for these one-time events slow down, then you should see that definitely not exceed the growth rate of revenue.
Okay. Okay, great. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for your support, Andy.
The next question is from Art Winston from Pilot Advisors. Please go ahead.
Great quarter, guys. Thank you very much. In terms of
Thanks,
the commercial opportunity, could you describe the characteristics of what the sale would be? Do we have to replace somebody? Is the contract written the same way as it would be written with a hospital? Would the margins be higher or lower than on the hospital business? And is it the same Do we need outbreaks to make the business grow faster? So could you just give a little meat on the bone as far as the commercial opportunity is?
Sure. So, you know, in the hospital space, there's a lot of white space. And by white, we mean, you know, the hospital isn't using microbiological filtration at all. So we have to both convince the customer that it's useful to use microbiological filtration and convince the customer that they should buy us. In the commercial space, it's all replacement. Every ice machine out there in the world has a recommended manufacturer filter. Every Coke machine has, you know, for taste, odor, and scale. Coffee and tea machines. So these are all replacements. It's important to be able to plug and play into the existing manifold that's there, so you don't have to have that extra transaction cost. But it's just to convince them that your filter is good enough to meet their needs and make the sale. So this isn't trying to convince that a new technology is useful or that they have to do something different. It's just, it's more procurement and less, sell.
So we would sacrifice a little bit of profit margin to get into the first couple of places, I assume, to replace.
Surprisingly, the big guys, I think, have really large profit margins because we don't see it being that different than our hospital space. Once you've made the sale. So I don't think we'll have to, to dip that far into the gross margin to be able to get our feet wet into a big sale. It's really just convincing that a small company can do it. And, you know, before we purchased Aether Group, they were a very, very, very small company. And now as part of Nephros, we look and act much bigger and are able to talk to bigger companies and say bigger things. So. We don't think it's going to affect gross margin. We think our pricing is good and comparable, usually a bit lower because we have less infrastructure. And it's just a matter of proving to them that we can provide them for 1,000 units or 2,000 stores or what have you.
Are we close to our first sale yet?
Well, we've had a bunch of little sales. So we've gotten a couple of hotel chains. Little bits, pieces here and there. We haven't yet gotten that extra $1 million contract, or an extra $4 million contract, but I think we never know until we got it, but we think we're inching our way there, and we expect to close one or two this year.
Just very quickly, do you consider this a major league opportunity? This could be a big deal to the company.
Yeah, no. When we purchased Aether, the whole intent was to increase our pace of revenue growth of the overall. And right now, if you look out 2 or 3 years, I don't know which one will have the most revenue, the hospital, the PluraPath detection system, or commercial. I think commercial and PluraPath will catch the hospital business very quickly.
Is our technology of the filters any different from Triple M or the other competitors?
Not at its core. The scale is slightly different, but the core of this space is carbon, whether you use granulated carbon or if you use carbon blocks, which we use carbon blocks, they're a bit more efficient, easier to manage, but it's carbon. Carbon absorbs the things in water that makes taste and smell bad.
Okay, thank you very much, guys. Good work.
Thanks, Art.
The next question is from Jamie DeYoung from Gaudi Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call this afternoon. Congratulations on a continued strong growth for the company. Just make it quick here. Do you have any exposure at all to parts being made in Italy for your products?
We do. We are the vast majority of our medical products are made in Sardinia, which is, of course, an island off the west coast of Italy. And there has not been any outbreak of the coronavirus there at this time. But if the coronavirus goes there, and if it impacts the business's ability to stay open, then it could influence our supply chain significantly, since they are our primary primary supplier, and we don't really have a significant backup. Having said that, we have over the last several months, well before there was a coronavirus, we have been increasing our stock above normal levels in anticipation of the spring outbreak business and increased business. And in the last week or two, we have made clear that we want to continue to get as much inventory as we can as a backstop against that. You know, the truth is, Jamie, and by the way, nice to hear your voice on the call. The truth is, if industry gets shut down, we'll get shut down along with the rest of industry. We're not exposed differently than anybody else who's getting product from overseas, or frankly, you know, who knows, perhaps even here.
That's helpful. So, but the specific parts that you're referring to that are sourced from Italy, that's a key primary component of what you're selling.
Oh yeah.
So, okay.
Oh yeah. It is the primary component of our hospital business, no question. We actually we actually added that risk to the 10K just last week.
Okay, great. That's helpful. I appreciate the transparency. Let's hope we don't have that situation upon us. My second question is, could you just update us for the deal? What is now the fully diluted share count?
Oh, boy. It's just over 10 million, and if you give me a minute, maybe ask you, if you have another question, I'll pull up that number. But it's 10.2 or 10.3 million, something like that.
Okay, that's really helpful. And then with respect to options, are there options that what would be the next amount of options that would come into the money that would increase that share count, and at what price?
No, the options, the share count that I just gave you was fully diluted, which means that all the options that are currently on the books are exercised.
Right, I understand that. I didn't know if there was another tranche that would then be exercised here in short order, at a slightly higher price.
Oh, I'm not following you. You mean as the price goes up?
Correct.
People would exercise options, which would bring the share count up, but not the fully diluted share count up, right?
Yeah, I was just looking to see if there was more shares that would come into the.
The option pool, actually, Jamie, I answered you quickly. Just give me one second. I want to check one number for you, make sure that I'm giving you the full story here. Yeah, the number that I gave, the 10.3 million, is going to be inclusive of all options that are in our sites right now. So that's a good number. It's not higher than that.
Thank you so much. Appreciate the progress, and look forward to speaking with you. Thanks so much.
Yep. You too.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
There are no more questions in the queue. This concludes our question and answer session, as well as the conference. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.